Christmas is a celebration of the God who became a man and dwelt among us. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us rediscover the true meaning of Christmas.
Zacharias and Elizabeth show us an example of a couple who said, hey, whether we have children or no children, we're still going to be faithful to God. And we need some moms and dads in this room this morning who'll say, whether I have a child or no child, whether my child serves God or doesn't serve God, I will still serve God. You must always, as an individual, find yourself faithful to God.
The story of Christmas is so often lost in the busyness of the holiday season. In our series, The True Meaning of Christmas, Pastor Chappell will take us back to the place where Christ was born and remind us of why He came and what His birth means for us today. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Although Jesus is the reason for the season, He is often overlooked and hardly mentioned in conversations. Yet the entire reason for Christmas is the love of God. In today's series, we will discover how to wade through worldly holiday diversions and find Christ in Christmas. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Christmas Preparations.
We're not living under the law, and thank God we don't have to live by the ordinances like some do today. They try to. The Bible says if you miss in one point of the law, you miss the whole law. So we're not living under the law, but how many of you would agree with me that when someone can say of you, he was a blameless man, that's a good thing? It's a good thing. That doesn't mean you won't be blamed. The Bible says a pastor should be blameless. It doesn't mean someone might not say something about you, but what it means is that it better not be true, that you should have a good testimony. So this man Zacharias and this woman Elizabeth, they were blameless. They had a good testimony. And I want to challenge you today that in this crooked generation in which we live, in this dark time in America spiritually, that we can live with blamelessness and godliness before the Lord. Look at Philippians 2:15. It says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And so we see a godly man and a godly woman in a wicked day still having a good testimony. I want to say it again, no matter what's going on in our country, it is possible to live for God with a blameless testimony. Now there's one problem with this couple, and I want you to see it in verse 7. It says, and they had no child. Would you say that with me? And they had no child. Now in our society, someone might say, well, that's too bad, or wish they could. In this society, in the first century, it was a little more than that. First of all, it was a matter of esteem that a son would be born into their home. Secondly, they had no rest care homes. They had no health care systems. When someone was elderly and sickly, typically, and some of you have seen this in Eastern cultures, families would live together and they would take care of mom and dad. But Zacharias and Elizabeth, they had no son to take care of them. This was a difficulty in their life. And God is mentioning in this passage that they were childless because He wants us to realize that when John the Baptist is born, this is a significant testimony to the power of God, in that He and He alone can open the womb and make this possible. But I want you to catch something to the side with me very quickly. Here were a mom and a dad who had no children, but they were still very, very faithful to God. And I have learned in my study of the American Christian family that we have in our Christian circles an idol. It is not in and of itself evil, but it can get in the way of our worshiping God. And it is the idol of family. And it seems to me that there are many Christians whose attitude is something like this: God, as long as my marriage is happy and as long as my kids are okay, then I'm going to come to church and I'll be okay with you, God, as long as my family is what I think it should be. But Zacharias and Elizabeth show us an example of a couple who said, hey, whether we have children or no children, we're still going to be faithful to God. And we need some moms and dads in this room this morning who'll say, whether I have a child or no child, whether my child serves God or doesn't serve God, I will still serve God. And I'll not play let's make a deal with God, and I'll not have conditions on God, but I'm going to be true to God no matter what's going on. Because I'm going to tell you something, having raised four children, there are some days when it's going great, there are some days when it doesn't go great, there are some days when things are just fine. Some of you have kids in church, some of you have kids out of church, but listen, you must always, as an individual, find yourself faithful to God. And that's what we see in Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were faithful to their God. And I thank God for parents who have made that decision. And if you love your family, then you worship Jesus, not your family. If you love your family, worship Jesus, not your family. Right? And show the family the way to following Jesus. You see, in this time period, Zacharias, he was faithful. Other men might have divorced their wives. Some men cheated on their wives to have a child. And all different kinds of scenarios could play out. But Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were blameless before God. They were faithful parents, godly parents. We live in a day when so many times men and women as moms and dads are not faithful to the Lord as they could or should be. Here were two people faithful to God. Notice secondly, the prayers of the parents. We see the parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah, but notice now their prayers. And I want you to pick it up with me in verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now notice here the supplication of Zacharias. Here we see the prayers of this man. As a priest, he is now going to have the prayers, the privilege really to raise up prayers in the temple to the Lord. And this does not refer to the Holy of Holies. It refers to the sanctuary proper. It refers to this inner portion of the temple. But it was a great privilege to enter into this place and to offer prayers unto the Lord. And the Bible tells us in verse 5 that this man was of the course of Abiah. And so of the course of Abiah tells us that he was a part of a team. There were 24 courses or divisions. Each of these divisions had 750 priests. So when you broke it down, each of the priests would spend about 2 weeks every year serving in the temple. Now, to give you an illustration of the privilege that Zacharias has on this day, the Bible tells us that there were lots to burn. Verse number 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. So there's around 20,000 priests. There's 24 divisions, 750 men in each of these divisions. And then they would cast a lot amongst that division. And whoever's lot was cast would have the privilege of going in to the temple and burning the incense as he made the prayers. And what I have read in the commentaries indicates that this was the privilege of a lifetime. It might happen once in a lifetime for a priest to be able to go into the sanctuary in this way. And so it was a tremendous privilege that Zacharias had. And the process would go something like this. A priest from the pinnacle would signal the beginning of the day's time of prayers. The first offering of the morning would bring the sacrifice upon the altar there in the temple. Then Zacharias, with the censer of fresh incense, of frankincense and myrrh, he would walk into the temple. To his left would be the golden candlestick. To his right would be the table of showbread. Directly in front of him would be the altar of incense. Right after that would be the veil separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And so Zacharias would walk in with this incense, perhaps of frankincense and myrrh, and he would begin to say his prayers to God. And he would pray for the children of Israel. He would pray for his family. He would ask God to bless the people. But I got to tell you, according to Hebrews 10:19, that all of us who are saved, we can enter boldly into the presence of God because of the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad that you have the privilege of entering boldly in prayer to God? You don't have to tell your prayers to a priest in a little booth. You don't have to ask me to get your prayers up there for you. But because you are saved, you can pray directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ anytime, anywhere. That's the New Testament in which we live, the New Testament age. But Zacharias was praying. You know, Psalm 141 and verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And what I want you to know is that when you pray to God, it's sweet to Him. And as the incense carried the prayer symbolically to heaven, when you pray, it's sweet to God. And I got to tell you that when you say, "Lord, I just want you to know I love you today. I just want to tell you, Lord, I'm thankful for you. If you sang this morning to the Lord, and if you pray to the Lord, it's like a sweet smell of frankincense and myrrh. Listen, God loves to hear from you. And God is looking for some Zacharias and Elizabeths who talk to him and who tell him that they love him and that they want to worship him. And so Zacharias was praying. And I just imagine when he went into this holy place, I imagine that he said, God, I pray for the people. We're under Herod. It's difficult. And God, I want to pray for a son. We don't have a son, God. And Elizabeth wants a son. And the other ladies treat her bad because she's never had a child. Oh, God, give us a son. God, bless your people. I don't know what all he prayed, but I know he knew it was the privilege of his lifetime, the once in a lifetime, to be in the holy place. But I want you to see, secondly, the surprise of Zacharias. Because verse 11 says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord on the right hand side of the altar of incense. Now, I don't know about you, that would give me the heebie-jeebies. If you're in the holy place by yourself, and there's the golden candlestick, and there's the table of showbread, and then right in front of you is the altar of incense, and right behind that's the Holy of Holies, and man, you're just in there, just you and God, and suddenly some guy's in there. That would kind of scare me just a little bit. And I think it scared this man Zacharias, because verse 11 says the angel shows up standing on the right side of this holy place. And the angel of the Lord here refers to God's messenger, who in the Old Testament times was sometimes undistinguishable from God himself. In other words, when he spoke, you were hearing from God. And remember now, this is the first time in 400 years that a ray of hope is going to come. A message from God is going to come to the Jews. And it's coming to Zechariah as he's praying here. The angel appears. And notice the Bible tells us in verse number 12, when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. How many of you would have been troubled too? And he's like, wow, what's going on here? Notice the answer that the Lord gives to this man, Zacharias. Verse 13, the angel said unto him, fear not. Have you noticed the angels always have to say that? Fear not, it's okay. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name. Now capture that. Fear not, Zacharias. Say that next phrase with me. For thy prayer is heard. Say it again. For thy thy prayer is heard. Someone says, well, I just don't know if God answers prayer. He answered this one, and he can answer prayer. Thy prayer is heard. And he says, you're going to have a son, for the Lord has heard your prayer. Now, this man, John, his name meant that God is gracious. Jehovah is a gracious giver. And the Bible says in verse number 15 that this man will be great, verse 15, in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So notice a few quick things about John the Baptist this morning. First of all, God says, your son will be great. On God's economy, this preacher was going to be great. Listen, Herod was not great in God's eyes. John the Baptist would be great in God's eyes. Please do not misunderstand popularity with greatness. Lady Gaga is one, Helen Keller is another. Being popular does not necessarily mean you are great with God. So God says, hey, I want you to know that your son is going to be great in my eyes. And I want you to know that I want him to take what's called the Nazarite vow. I don't want him to drink wine or strong drink. I want him to have an ascetic diet. I want him to be separate unto me. He is going to be a man uniquely used. And so I want you to keep him away from potential defilement in this world. Don't let him drink wine or strong drink. But then I want you to see something that just really kind of blows my mind, because it says, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now listen to this. Here is a baby in his mother's womb who has a name, who has a calling, who has the Holy Ghost. Please understand with me that this pro-life thing is not Republican and it's not political. It is Bible. And this is church, so it's okay to talk about the Bible. Because I believe in separation of church and state. All right? Let me just tell you what the Bible says about our state. The Bible says that preborn children are known by God and that their lives should not be snuffed out. Here was a man with a name, with a calling. Here was a man that God had a purpose for his life, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Isaiah 44 and verse 2, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb which helped thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. You see, God says, I know that life in that womb, and it's set apart. God says, that little baby in that womb matters to me. And if it matters to God, it ought to matter to us. John the Baptist was known while he was in his mother's womb. People who want sex outside of marriage, they want to be able to just take the life of that preborn child anytime they want to. But I'll tell you a little something that's interesting. When the word baby is used in the Greek New Testament, speaking of the baby in the mother's womb, it's the same word for a baby that's outside of the mother's womb. God says, I recognize that child. He's going to be great. I have a purpose for that child. And I just want you moms and dads to know, and some of you ladies are expecting today, God has a purpose for your child. God has a reason. God's going to do something with your child. And so the surprise of Zacharias, you're going to have a baby. His name's going to be John. He's filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And then let's notice quickly the service of John the Baptist. What would he do? What is God's purpose? Verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. John the Baptist was going to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was going to tell people, hey, stop looking at all the things of the world and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He would turn people to the Lord. That's the job of the preacher and the Christian today. And then he was going to help people to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Verse 17, he shall go before him in the spirit of power and of Elias, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to children. Notice that phrase, to turn the hearts of the fathers, notice that, to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. The Bible says that whenever people get their focus on the Lord, families are reunited. Fathers looking to their children, children looking to their fathers. And here, Gabriel says, listen, John the Baptist is going to have such a ministry that it's going to touch hearts, it's going to touch homes for the glory of God. And so we see the parents of a prophet. We see the prayers of the parents. But notice finally this morning, the providence of God. The providence of God. The word providence means to see before. And what we're going to learn is that even when Elizabeth and Zacharias didn't know what was going on, God did. How many of you are thankful for a God that's always in control? Always in control. Notice the providence of God, first of all, when we doubt. Sometimes we doubt God. Sometimes we don't have as much faith as we should. Look at verse 18, what it says. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Zacharias is kind of doubting this. Now I want you to think about this for just a moment. Here is a man who spent his whole life asking God for a son. Here is a man who knew that God had intervened on behalf of Isaac and Samuel and brought them into the world according to his mighty power. Zacharias is a believer. He's not an atheist. He's a priest, for heaven's sake. He got to go into the holy place and burn the incense. And all of that having been said, now he's saying, Gabriel, how can this be? We're old. How many of you people are like me sometimes when you're in church? God can do anything. I serve a great God. And then you walk out of church going, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to take care of this? I just don't know what's going to go on here. That's Zacharias. Praying and praying, but now not so sure. He knew Jeremiah 32:17. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made heaven and the earth and thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. He knew all of that, but he still doubted God. Are there times in your life when you doubt God? Are there times in your life when you just kind of wonder, God, what are you doing here? Learn today that even when we doubt, God is at work. And we see very clearly the doubt of Zacharias. But look at the assurance of Gabriel. I love this part. Verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of the Lord. I can just almost see Gabriel standing over here. Zacharias is going, but how can this be? I don't know. And he goes, Zacharias, look, I'm Gabriel. I'm not one of the other flunky angels, all right? I'm Gabriel. I'm the guy that went to Daniel and gave the prophet. Look at I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and he let me step in here to tell you this right now. So Zachariah, you better listen to me. You know, it's just amazing to me And I think with some of us, it could be 10,000 angels and we'd still doubt. But here, Gabriel gives him some assurance. And he says, I'm Gabriel. There's only one other named angel, and that was Michael. And God sent Gabriel, a special angel, to give this message to Zacharias. And notice what Zacharias has to tell, or the angel has to tell Zacharias in verse 20. He says, and behold, thou shalt be dumb. Now some of you are going, that's my husband's life verse. I didn't realize it was right there in the Bible. But that's not exactly what it means, okay? He says, behold, thou shalt be dumb, meaning he's not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed. So there's a judgment that's made on Zacharias because of his lack of faith. There's a silver lining, because the silver lining is that when the baby's born, he's going to be able to speak again. But when you read these verses, he walks out of the temple. Everybody's like, wow, why were you in there so long? What was going on in there, Zacharias? What did God say to you? He couldn't tell him. He had to wait until God's appointed time. But even when he was doubting, God was still working. How many of you are glad that even when your faith is not as strong as it should be, God's still working? But then I want you to see that God is providential even when we're waiting. Even when we're waiting, God is still always working. Look at verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. The Lord did a great work for her. She conceived, and she began to rejoice. The Bible says in verse 25, thus the Lord hath dealt with me in these days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. Elizabeth was rejoicing. I believe she was rejoicing for two reasons. First of all, I believe she was rejoicing because she was going to have a baby, and secondly, because her husband couldn't talk. Imagine that, ladies, if your husband couldn't say a word for like 5 months. He could never say, don't charge the credit cards. He could never say, don't write the check. He couldn't say anything. Elizabeth was rejoicing. But I want you to see really a lesson and then an application as the last part of this verse 25 as we close. He says, to take away my reproach among men. Would you say that with me, please? To take away my reproach. See, it wasn't easy in those days to be a woman who'd never had a child, especially a man-child, and she felt the reproach of that. But she said, the Lord has taken away my reproach. She was becoming more like the Apostle Paul, who said, I want to learn how to take pleasure in my infirmities and my reproaches and necessities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. She had learned that God could take away the reproach. And I want you to know this as we close today. There is a reproach that only God can take away, and that is a reproach called sin. And the Bible says that all of us have that reproach, and that all of us are under the penalty of sin, Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through His blood. What does that mean? It means that all of us are sinners. All of us, because of our sin, are separated from God. But God sent His Son Jesus to shed His blood on the cross to be the propitiation, or the covering, for our sin, so that whoever receives Jesus as their Savior, the blood of Christ is applied to our account. And though I was guilty, now my sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus. And though I was deserving hell and did not deserve a home in heaven, God has covered me and He's taken away my reproach. And it's one thing for Mary to have the reproach of childlessness taken away, but it's a far greater thing to have the reproach of sin taken away. Mary had a reproach, but we all have a reproach today. But that reproach can be removed when we trust Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you don't know that your sins are washed away, and you don't know that you have a home in heaven, I want to encourage you today. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
Why is the sky blue?
Why do people get sick?
How do airplanes stay up in the sky?
Children's minds are always on. That's why Kids Corner Preschool hires only highly qualified teachers who love to inspire learning. Open in Northeast Lancaster from 6:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m., Kids Corner provides preschool and daycare services for children ages 3 and 4. Find out more and schedule a visit at kids-cornerav.com.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.